Well, good morning, Church. Randy, I need to steal that from you. Thank you, sir. How are you all today? You good? All right. Some of you are awake. That's awesome. Man, what a great day it's already been. And I'm just going to throw those there. I trust that you're going to be sticking around for our picnic. We're going to have it rain or shine, and we're cooking the burgers up, and we're excited to just be able to celebrate together and enjoy each other's company and fellowship. And so I trust that you'll stay around for that. And you say, I wasn't planning to. Well, start planning to now, because we've got enough food and we want to spend time together with you, church. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. We're talking this morning about the peace of God. And if you haven't realized already, I have a cold. And I've been taking DayQuil like it's my job right now, and I took some just before the service started, so hopefully we'll get through this all right, but the problem is it's made my mouth a little dry, and so I've been drinking water over here, and hopefully I won't stumble too much as we go through this morning. But if you're there in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God this morning? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray this morning as we spend a few moments together and we look into your word, that you would speak truth into our hearts and help us to learn and to grow and to make changes where necessary. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm grateful for the opportunity to celebrate our children and celebrate our graduates today. It's great to be a part of a church where we can have young people around and be able to recognize them for their accomplishments. And I think Randy said it well, especially about the graduates. I don't know about you, but I did not feel very smart as they were coming up and sharing about all of the things that they were doing and had done and won and all that sort of stuff. And I was like, man, I graduated high school. That was about it. That was what we got right there. They were like, he made it. Give him a diploma and get him out of here. And so congratulations to all of you graduates. And it was great to see the children who have been memorizing Scripture and been faithful in their attendance and their ministry here. This morning, we're going to talk about the peace of God. We're in a small study called Joyful Peace. And so this morning we're going to really key in on what it means to understand and have God's peace in our lives. And here's our key thought for this morning. Praying in every situation with a thankful heart means fully trusting God. So the first thing that we're going to look at this morning is that we need to stop carrying what we're not meant to carry. Look what he says there in the beginning of verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Now, for some of us, we might look at that and say, oh, no problem, I don't worry about a single thing. I think for those of you teenagers, maybe you're kind of hanging out there right now. You're like, I don't really worry about any of that stuff. I'm just going to kind of get up and hopefully there's food around and I'll go eat that and go to school or whatever. But some of us, we pick up and carry burdens that we should never pick up and carry. We start worrying about things, and when we worry about things, is there really anything that we can do when we worry? You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6? He said this, "This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Learn how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the idolaters eagerly seek all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So here we see Paul echoes what Jesus said in that great Sermon on the Mount. We need to quit carrying the things that we're not supposed to carry. Stop worrying about stuff. Now, this is not a Hakuna Matata type of atmosphere, all right? This is not a, who cares about anything? I'm not going to worry about anything. I'm not going to think about anything. I'm just going to live life. That's not what we're talking about. Because there's a difference between concern and genuine care for others or for things around you and of just not worrying. You see, when we worry, it's taking on a burden that we shouldn't have. When we worry, a lot of times we play through in our minds situations that'll never happen. When we worry, we're just inventing problems. And Jesus said there, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough trouble. We just need to be concerned about others. We need to be concerned and care about those around us. And your translation may say, don't be anxious about anything. And I think that's a great translation, not to be anxious. Anxiety is a big problem in our society today, and I would say in this room we have the problem of anxiety, and sometimes we allow those anxious thoughts and feelings to overcome and overtake us. And Jesus isn't saying that those feelings aren't real. He's saying we need to trust Him in those feelings. When we worry, when we are anxious, we are effectively telling God that we can handle the situation better than He can. In this way, we belittle the sovereignty of God. I think if we were to go around this morning and ask, do we believe that God is sovereign? Do we believe that He is in charge of everything, that He is over everything, that He knows that everything is going on, that He is in control? I think all of us would say yes. But if we also went around and said, what are you worried about? We'd all probably pull out this long list of things. And when we say, oh, I've got to really handle this, and I've got to handle this, and I've got to take care of this, we're just saying, God, you can't handle this situation. You're not big enough to handle my problems because you don't really understand my situation. It's different from everyone else. Yeah, okay, for some people, sure, they can trust God, but for me, I need to handle this situation. You see, worry is the opposite of faith. Worry is the complete opposite of faith because it's all about me. I've got to be able to handle this. I've got to figure out the situation. I've got to figure out the solution to what's going on right now. And so when I'm worrying, I'm saying it's all about me. But faith is all about God. Faith is trusting God completely. And so instead of carrying these things, what we need to do is we need to start praying about what we're not able to carry. Look at the end of verse 6. He says, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. What are the things that we're not able to carry? You ready? You can write this down. I'll give you a list of things here that we're not able to carry. All right, right here it is. Everything. There's not a single thing that we're able to handle. But God can. And Paul here lists four really important words describing prayer, as he's talking about going to God with our troubles, with our worries, with our anxieties. First of all, prayer, it just basically describes a believer's approach to God. Have you thought about this, that when we pray, we get to approach the throne of Almighty God? And not only that, but He listens to us. When we pray, we're able to boldly come before God and not worry about any retribution. If you think about kings and queens, you know, especially back in medieval times, if you walked into the throne room and you didn't have an appointment, they could just kill you. God isn't like that. God is a loving, benevolent God who listens to us, who cares about us. And so when we pray, we can just approach God and say, God, here is what's on my heart. Here are the things that I'm worried about, but I'm trying not to worry about. Here are the things that are important to me. And so prayer is our approach to God, but then also petition. Petition emphasizes requesting an answer to a specific need. Jesus told the parable about the unrighteous judge and the widow that lived in his town. And he didn't care about God. He didn't care about people. And this woman just kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And finally he said, I don't care about her, but I just want her to stop. Because of her persistence, I'm going to grant her request. What we're to do when we petition God is we keep coming back to God time and time again. And I think for many of us, when it comes to prayer, first of all, prayer is probably the least used area of our spiritual disciplines. I think prayer, we think of as an afterthought. Prayer is a thing that we do at meals and at bedtime. Prayer is a thing we do when something really big and bad happens in our lives. But prayer isn't a regular thing. And here was this woman, and she just kept persistently, even though the answer was no, 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 she kept coming back to this judge, and finally he relented. That's how we're to be with God, that we keep praying. We're constantly to be praying. And is it because that God doesn't love us and he just wants to get rid of us? No. But he wants to come back, us to come back to him time and time again, because, you see, prayer isn't the thing that changes God. Prayer is the thing that changes me. When I'm praying and I'm constantly coming before God, you know what happens is it's my heart and God's heart coming together. And what I see is that there's a big change inside of me. And so petition is emphasizes requesting an answer to a specific need time and time again. But then thanksgiving is an attitude of the heart which should always accompany prayer. You know what we should never do? We should never come to God as if we deserve something. Because we don't deserve anything. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve an audience with him where he can listen to us. We don't deserve his love and his mercy and his grace. We don't deserve any of that. So we shouldn't come to him and say, God, I'm here, and so because I'm here, you know, you should answer me. But we come with thanksgiving saying, God, I'm grateful that you love me. I'm grateful that you've forgiven me. I'm grateful that you hear me. We come to him with thanksgiving, and then also requests, speaks of definite and specific things asked for. But here's what we need to understand. Prayer is more than just asking for my wants. Prayer is deep, personal, and intimate conversation with Almighty Creator God. It is communion and fellowship with God. I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody, especially not myself. But if we were to go around this morning and ask how much time daily we spend in serious prayer with God, I think that it would probably be a very, very small number. Maybe we pray before a test, students. Maybe before a big interview. Maybe because we have a project due at work. Maybe we sit down and do the quick prayer over our food. But when it comes to deep, personal, intimate conversation with God, we're probably very lacking. Sometimes we think, man, I don't have time to pray. Well, really, we don't have time to not pray. And so we need to make sure that we understand how intimate and how important our prayer time is with God. H.B. Charles Jr. said this, "Prayer expresses our submission to and dependence upon God. The things you pray about are the things that you trust God to handle." I read that and I convicted. The things that you pray about, the things you trust God to handle. So I started thinking about the things that I have in my life that I don't pray about. You know what that's essentially saying is, I don't trust God. I don't trust that God can handle that situation. That's a very, very selfish attitude. That's a very short-sighted attitude. And he also goes on to say this, prayerlessness is a declaration of independence, but needy people pray. Why is it that during those really hard times we have an intimate prayer life? Because we're needy right then. But sometimes when things are going pretty smooth, we think, I don't need to pray because everything's okay. But really, we're needy all of the time. And so if we're going to know the peace of God in our lives, if we're going to understand what it's like to walk through life without being worried, without being anxious, it's to take things to God in prayer, to go to him prayerfully. When we pray, we are expressing our absolute dependence on God, knowing full well that we can't even handle one day of life without His divine intervention. If we can think of a day or many days where we haven't spent time in deep personal conversation with God, then we're not living the life that God wants us to live. Sometimes we think that prayer comes before the work, but actually what we need to understand is that prayer is the work. Because sometimes the things that we're praying for, we're praying for things and we think they're good, but we're actually not. And as we start to pray, God starts to change our hearts to realize the thing we were praying for wasn't what He wanted. You know what's great to know? God always answers prayer. He answers in one of three ways: yes, no, or not right now. I think most of us are good with the yes and the no, but it's that not right now, that wait a while, that's hard, isn't it? What are the things that God wants us to pray for? He wants us to pray for everything. He wants us to pray for that friend or that family member that doesn't know Jesus. I think sometimes we pray one time and we think that's all I need to do, and we just walk away. God wants us to continue to come back to Him in prayer time and time again. So we need to stop trying, and we need to start praying. We need to realize the importance of prayer in our lives. And that prayer brings us to the peace of God that will protect and carry us. Look there in verse 7. He says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." God's peace comes to those who fully trust Him. Remember in verse 6, He just said, don't be anxious, be prayerful. When we are able to fully trust God with our everything, it takes a large burden off of us. Remember what Jesus said? "Come to me, all you who are weary and labor, and I will give you rest, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light." If you think about that yoke, if you think about two animals, whether it's cows or whether it's donkeys or whatever, they're in an oxen, they always try to evenly match them so they're about the same size, so they're pulling the same way. What we have when we yoke up with Jesus is He's a lot bigger than we are. And so as we yoke up with Him, guess who does all the work? He does. And we don't have to try to keep pulling against Him time and time again. And what you have to understand is that God's peace is greater than any anxious thought we could ever have. Look at what He says, "And the peace of God which surpasses every thought." What is the worst thing you can imagine happening in your life? Is God bigger than that situation? What's the most horrendous thing that you could imagine take place in any time of your life that you might sit at home at night and just have these thoughts of anxiousness and say, what if that happens? What if that happens? Is God bigger than that situation? I think we learned something really great from a VeggieTales movie a number of years ago that sang this wonderfully accurate theological song, "God is bigger than the boogeyman." You know, we teach our children that, but sometimes as adults, we don't walk that, do we? Some of you heard before, I've shared bits and pieces here and there of the accident that our church in Florida faced when we were on a youth camp trip. We had a van that blew a tire and flipped several times and killed two of our leaders and sent a number of our students into the hospital. I tell you, that was a bad day. That was a hard day. The only thing that I knew in the midst of that, of having two of my friends, one of my really good friends that was killed in that accident, of having to call these parents and talk about what took place, the only thing that I knew was that God was in charge and that God was sovereign. And I can't explain it to you, but in the midst of that, in the midst of literally one of the worst days of my life, that there was a peace that I had, knowing that God was bigger than that situation. Never in a million years had I thought that was going to happen to us. Never in a million years had I thought that, you know, on this trip, as we were going to camp, doing something good, where we were going to see lives get changed, and we were going to have worship time together. We were going to have study the Word of God together, and all of those things that happened at camp. Never did I think that that was going to happen. God was bigger than that situation. And I can promise you that God is bigger than whatever situation that you are facing or that you could imagine. We must stop telling God how big our problems are and start telling our problems how big our God is. If we believe that God is big enough to wash away our sins and snatch us out of the grasp of hell and secure us forever in heaven, then we must believe that God is big enough to take care of all of the struggles, whether big or small, that we will face in life. You know what I don't understand? Is I don't understand how we can look and say, yes, I believe in Jesus, that he will save me from hell and get me into heaven, but God, you can't handle this situation right now. That doesn't make sense. Because what is bigger in life than eternity in hell or heaven? Nothing. And so if he can handle that, he can handle whatever we're going through. He can handle whatever it is that we're facing. He can handle all of those bad times in life. Because here's the truth. Life is hard. There is difficulty. There are pains that happen in life. There are bad things that happen in life. But we have a good God, and he will walk us through time and time again. In Psalm 37, I love that it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he will not fall down, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. God is holding our hands through everything we're going through. We're trusting him. Do we think that he can handle it? But we also need to understand that God's peace comes from knowing God's word. Verse 7 again says, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You cannot be in Christ Jesus if you're not in his word daily. Listen, I love that every single one of you showed up for church on Sunday morning. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that many of you show up to our connect groups at 9 o'clock, and that many of you show up on Wednesday night, but can I tell you, it's not enough. It's not enough. We have a daily need to spend time reading and studying and memorizing God's word. You cannot know the peace of God if you do not know the Word of God. One of the big regrets that I have in my life is that I did not start reading the Bible every day until I got into college. You say, well, you grew up in a pastor's house. I know. I was really good at playing the game. I knew all the answers. Went to Christian school, was in chapel, Bible class, all of that stuff. I was good at all of that. But I didn't spend time daily reading the Word of God. One of the greatest joys in my life has been the opportunity and the privilege to read the Word of God every single day. Can't know the peace of God if you don't know the Word of God. J. Vernon McGee said this, prayer rests on faith, and faith rests on the Word of God. So if we are praying in faith, the only way that we are able to pray in faith is if we know the Word of God and we know the God of the Word, so that we can know his peace because we know his Word. That is the aspect of faith. But also, God's peace comes out in our continual relationship with him. Go with me to Daniel chapter 6. We're going to read a number of verses here. I love Daniel. I love the fact that in all of Scripture, he is the only one, aside from Jesus, that nothing negative was written about him. This doesn't mean he was perfect. It just means that he was given as a great example for us. And in Daniel chapter 6, I love the adversity that he faces, and I love the faithfulness that he had in his life. Daniel chapter 6, starting in verse 1, Darius decided to appoint 120 satraps, or leaders, over the kingdom, stationed throughout the realm, and over them three administrators, including Daniel. These satraps would be accountable to them so that the king would not be defrauded. Daniel distinguished himself above the administrators and satraps because he had an extraordinary spirit. So the king planned to set him over the whole realm. The administrators and satraps, therefore, kept trying to find a charge against Daniel regarding the kingdom. But they could find no charge or corruption, for he was trustworthy, and no negligence or corruption was found in him. Then these men said, "We will never find any charge against this Daniel unless we find something against him concerning the law of his God." So the administrators and satraps went together to the king and said to him, "May King Darius live forever. All the administrators of the kingdom," by the way, that was a lie, "the prefects, satraps, and advisors and governors have agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an edict that for 30 days, anyone who petitions any god or man except you, the king, will be thrown into the lion's den. Therefore, your majesty, establish the edict and sign the document so that as a law of the Medes and Persians, it is irrevocable and cannot be changed." So King Darius signed the document. When Daniel learned that the document had been signed, he went into his house. The windows in its upper room opened towards Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Here we see this story that, first of all, these corrupt men kind of lied about what everyone agreed on, and they went and played on the ego of the king. Said, "No one should pray to you, should pray to anyone except you for 30 days. And he was like, "Yeah, that's a great idea." And I love what it says about Daniel. When he heard that the document had been signed, what did he do? He went home and he opened up his windows. He faced Jerusalem and he prayed three times each day as was his custom. So what happened? Well, jump down to verse 19. At the first light of the dawn, he gets thrown into the lion's den. We know that the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he reached the den, he cried out in anguish to Daniel. "Daniel, servant of the living God," the king said, "has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Then Daniel spoke with the king, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths. They haven't hurt me, for I was found innocent before him. Also, I have not committed a crime against you, my king." I love what the king said there about Daniel. The God whom you serve, what was that next word? Continually. Church, if we were being accused of serving God, would we be accused of serving God continually? When we heard that something bad happened, would we be the ones to go home and open our windows and pray just as we always did? You know what I think about Daniel and I think about this king? We know that the king had a terrible night of sleep. All night long, he was worried about Daniel. You know what I think about Daniel? I think he slept great. I think he curled up with those big cats. It was all nice and warm and cuddly, and they all just kind of hung out there together. And I think he had a great, great sleep. So when Paul said that the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, he did not mean that nothing bad will ever happen to you. He meant that in the midst of the bad, we will recognize and cling to Jesus as all that is good and all that is needed. I think as Daniel got thrown into that lion's den, you know what he was doing? He's probably just praying. He didn't know what was going to happen. Say, "Oh, I'm sure he was fine." No, he hadn't read verses 19 through the end of the chapter yet. He didn't know what was going to happen, so he just prayed. He gets down there and found that he was just going to have a good old time cuddled up with those cats. The peace of God in our lives means that we can rest in Jesus confidently, knowing that he has it all under control. You know what I think about a lot of us? I think that probably we have a lot of sleepless nights because we're worried about things that we have no right to be worried about. I think that we have a lot of anxious moments because we're carrying stuff that God's saying, "Hey man, I'll carry this. Would you just trust me?" I think that we don't adequately trust Jesus enough. We trust him with our eternity. We don't always trust him with our right now. And both things are important. What are our takeaways this morning? We'll wrap up and be done. Number one, what are you carrying today that you shouldn't be? What are you carrying? What are you holding on to that God already said, man, I got this? Is that a family situation? Is it work? Relationships? I don't know what it is. What are you carrying? You shouldn't be carrying. Number two, how's your prayer life? When I wrote that, I did a lot of reflection, a lot of conviction, saying, man, how's my prayer life? Am I just praying for those real easy things, or, you know, thanks for the meat, let's eat type of prayers? Or how's your prayer life, church? Number three, do you know the peace of God in your life because of your deep, personal, and intimate relationship with Him? Do you know God's Word? Are you spending time in God's Word every day? Peace doesn't mean nothing bad's going to happen. Peace means that in the midst of the bad, you'll understand the one who is good. You'll be able to cling to the one that is good. You'll be able to hold on to Him, because that's all there is to hold on to. Church, I'll tell you that peace only comes when we have that deep relationship with Him, when we're spending time in His Word daily, when we're praying, when we're trusting Him, when we're memorizing and meditating on Scripture. I think Stacy kind of spoke to convicting all of us earlier when she said she wasn't going to ask any of us if we'd memorized 10 or 12 or 24 verses this year. If we're going to know God's peace in the midst of the storm, we have to know His Word. Lord, I thank You for today. And I thank You for the time that we've had to share together, to celebrate our children, to celebrate our students as they graduate. But Lord, I know in this place this morning, there's some of us that we have burdens. And these burdens, sometimes they just seem like they're going to. Lord, I pray that You would help us to trust You. That we'd be able to trust You not just with getting to heaven, but with our every moment of every day. Lord, I pray that You would change our prayer life. I pray that we would be a church full of men and women and teenagers and boys and girls who come to You with everything, who continually have conversation with You every single day. That we talk to You about the good, we talk to You about the bad, we talk to You about the big, we talk to You about the small. That we stop carrying burdens we're not meant to carry, we start trusting You, start praying. So Lord, I pray for anyone in this morning that they're just carrying a heavy load. Lord, would you help them to release it to You? That they would just trust You? They would take their hands off the control of their life and give it over to You? Father, may we be people who are fully trusting of You, who live by faith day by day. And Lord, I pray if there is anyone in here this morning that they can't know Your peace because they don't have a relationship with You, I pray that today they would say yes to You. And friend, right now with no one looking around, I'm just going to ask you this question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Him? Do you know His peace? Have you put your faith and trust in the completed work of what Jesus did on the cross? He died to pay the penalty for our sins. He was buried and rose again. The Bible says if we would believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth, we'll be saved. And so, if you're sitting here today, you say, I don't know the peace of God because I don't know God. Would you just talk to Him today? It's not a prayer that saves you, it's what you believe. You say something like this, doesn't have to be these words. Jesus, I believe that you are God. I believe that you died for my sins. You were buried and rose again. I'm asking you today to forgive me and to give me a place in heaven. Friend, if you just whispered something like that to Jesus, the Bible says that you have relationship with Him, your sins have been forgiven, and you have eternity in heaven. And in just a moment, when we stand to sing this final song of worship, I'm going to ask you to come and just meet me right down here at the front and just tell me. I'd love to share with you and pray with you. We're not going to embarrass you in any way. But then maybe you say, Brad, I do know Jesus, but I'm carrying something I shouldn't be carrying. Would you just whisper something to Jesus like this? Jesus, I trust you. I trust you in all areas of my life. I believe that you're bigger than my situation. When we stand to sing, I'm going to invite you, if you're walking that road of worry and carrying things you shouldn't be, would you just come down here and you can kneel at the altar, you can pray, you can kneel at your seat, you can sit in your seat. Just give it to God this morning. Jesus, I pray that you would help us to do what you've laid on our hearts this morning to do. Help us to be obedient men and women, boys and girls and teenagers, so that we look and act and talk and think just like Jesus Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you